Welcome back to KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Let's be honest, a lot of us spend a lot of time these days on our phones or in front of our computers, chatting up friends on Facebook or posting and exchanging witty repartee on Twitter or augmenting our faces with dog noses and bunny ears on Snapchat. Is this killing off real relationships? Is it cutting into time and energy that we'd otherwise be spending interacting with people in real life? Surprisingly enough, the answer may be no. Joining us is Jeffrey Hall. He teaches communication studies at KU. He's an expert on social interactions, online and otherwise. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, it's good to be here.
It's great to have you back on KCUR. You just published a study about this that says what?
Well, that essentially that people are able to distinguish pretty clearly between social media use and social interaction, you know, kind of a face-to-face kind of model of social interaction.
And when you say they can distinguish clearly, does that mean they think something different is happening when they're on social media?
That's right. So there's a couple ways to think of this. One of the things that's changed as research and thinking about social media has expanded is that we've started to think in terms of the affordances that social media allows us to do. So social media allows us to do a lot of different things. And when we think about what those different things are, many of them don't at all look like social interaction. They look like people watching. So people in the past have called this virtual people watching. So if you think about being in your computer screen and you go on to Facebook, you go onto Twitter, you're actually observing and watching people there too. Hmm. But if I was sitting on a park bench in Lawrence, Kansas, where I live, or in a big city and I was watching people go by, it's still that same phenomena. You're checking out your social world. You're looking what's going on there. But most of that time of people watching, we wouldn't think that as social interaction either. So what I think is very interesting about the study is that people are understanding that when they're on social media, it doesn't serve the same sort of purposes and functions that social interaction does.
But it feels like you're doing something different on social media, right? I mean, you're interacting, you're posting things to Facebook, you're having comments back and forth.
Well, that's right. So in the case in which that you are posting things, you're commenting or you're chatting, right? So you move to Facebook chat or a private messaging function within that.
Sure.
Then people are more likely to see that as social interaction. So in the first of the three studies that I did, I asked people to spend 5 or 10 minutes on social media, and then I said, how did you apportion your time? What did you do during that time? Well, most of the time people spent, about 65% of it, they spent just browsing, looking at stuff, reading articles or posts that other people had put. Less than 4% of the time was spent chatting. So what that means is, yeah, if we comment, or yes, if we seek out a one-to-one interaction with somebody through some sort of mechanism that allows that, people do think that's social interaction, and I would agree with that. But what's interesting is a tiny percent of what we actually do on social media.
Now, you're talking about measuring the amount of time people spend doing these things, but let's talk about that percentage of time people do spend interacting through social media. Is it a different kind of interaction than you and I are having because we're sitting and talking to each other?
It is. So the other studies that I did looked at this kind of more of a what do we do when we're face-to-face interaction and what are we doing when we're on social media? And so in the case in which that we're having a face-to-face interaction, the second study that I did looked at when you're conversing with friends or communicating with friends. And what we find is when you are looking to have a conversation, when you're looking to talk to someone or catch up with someone, we seek a face-to-face interaction or more likely to do so through that mechanism, through face-to-face talk. When we're looking to just kind of keep updated about a casual friend or someone that's not as close to us, we turn to social media. So again, it's the concept of not just that the function is different, but the types of relationships we're fostering are different on social media as they are in face-to-face.
So all of my Facebook friends, they're not really my friends in the same way that the people I see are.
Well, one way to think about it is that, so several studies have pointed out that probably around 20 to 30% of the people on your Facebook feed are actually people who you would consider real friends or close friends, right? It's a smaller percent.
How do you figure that out?
So what they do is, so the studies have done things like randomly select a group of people and say, what is your relationship to them? Or ask people to take the most recent people who posted on their news feed and then basically establish a relationship with each person and name it. Mm-hmm. So it's several different researchers from different perspectives have kind of found this sort of number. But what's, I think, important about that is to keep in mind is we're not actually interacting with those people necessarily when we post. So, for example, you know, if I was on social media earlier today and then I put a story actually coming on the show, of those, all those people who commented on them, the only person, people who commented, my mom commented on me being on there because and we obviously have another relationship besides just being on social media. And a few, but most people just liked it. And if you think of what a like is or a favorite is on Twitter, what it essentially does is it says, I acknowledge you, I see you, you're sharing the space with me and I see things are going on in your life. But it doesn't even mean that you've read the story that the person posted or are really interested in
right.
what's happening.
And we know that we haven't a lot of the time.
That's right, we haven't because...
Confession.
Well, and I think we couldn't possibly do that. think about the amount of information that's coming in through those different mechanisms. And those would overwhelm our systems of communication if we were. We would spend all of our time keeping up with these people when that's not what we usually want to spend our time doing.
But, you know, a lot of people would say we seem like we're spending all of our time doing that anyway. Are social media sort of taking over our lives just from a time management standpoint?
Yeah, I think there is some evidence to that. So Mark Zuckerberg was just quoted a couple weeks ago in the New York Times about saying that on average 50 minutes a day for the users on Facebook, right? We're talking about 1.7 billion people on this planet. And for the people who are active users, 50 minutes a day on average is the amount of time they're spending. Some research from just a few years ago said that was only 40 minutes a day. So it is increasing. The question is with that 50 minutes or roughly an hour, what is it replacing? And I think this is the question of our time, frankly. The question of our time is, what is it replacing? Because I don't think it's replacing face-to-face interaction, because I think people are actually seeking out that for the purpose of interacting. I think it's replacing things like cruising the internet in another way, or perhaps watching some TV or reading a magazine. There's a lot of things we do on social media that are somewhat social, right? They're sharing ideas or thoughts, but they're really just kind of finding a new way to have that information travel to us. And social media is a different way.
It's taking more time in our lives, but it's not necessarily replacing actual human interaction.
That's right. And so the research on that actually is very poor. Although we know that some people who use social media to the exclusion of all relationships, all face-to-face interactions do exist, that's not the case for most people.
You know, I wonder, this clicking the like button,
yeah,
that isn't real social interaction, but does it still serve a benefit? Does it connect me to you in some way if I like what you posted from the New York Times?
Yeah. So there's two ways of thinking about this. So my research and my study would say that people don't consider it social interaction when they do those things. So both the study one and study two, and to a lesser degree, study three, all kind of confirm that's not enough. However, other research done actually by people who are at Facebook, interestingly, have looked at if you like someone more and more over time, right? So over a span of time, does that change your closeness of your relationship to them?
Or does it change Facebook's logarithm how much time we spend reading their stuff?
That's a whole other thing. Remember, Facebook's goal is to have you spend as much time as possible on their site to consume advertisement, frankly. That's really their purpose. They're bringing eyeballs to advertising dollars. And if we think about it that way, just a couple months ago, Facebook changed their algorithm back again because they were finding that users were turned off by seeing too much advertisement, and they wanted more of their friends and family's updates again. So Facebook readjusted their algorithm to show you more of that. So part of all this dynamic is, remember, we are talking about corporations who have particular functions and purposes that are not intrinsically about connectedness or social interaction per se. It's about selling your advertising dollars. The social interactions that happen on Facebook are actually a mechanism or an avenue by which that they're able to keep us involved in the site and keep coming back for those 50 minutes a day to watch more ads.
Right. This wasn't something you covered in your study, but I guess I'm curious. We're seeing more and more live broadcasting going on through Facebook Live or something like Periscope. This is something that would sort of bring a person right into the other person's presence. You are where they are. Is that a different kind of interaction still?
Yeah, potentially so. So let's say that I were to post my live interactions and other people were to be there present with me at that time. If that function ever were to happen where it was happening in a real-time sort of way, my research would suggest that people would indeed find that like a social interaction. However, watching other people basically interact or talk through some sort of mechanism, whether it be YouTube or Google Plus or whatever, doesn't really seem to have the same sort of impact because it's a one-way channel without interactive qualities and it's not synchronous, meaning a person records something, another person might respond at later time. And I would argue that, in fact, if you think about it, it's not in Facebook or Twitter or otherwise interest to have people who are only co-present at the same time to benefit from that content. If that content is bringing them there, they could watch 2 hours later or at their leisure.
Right.
That's ideal for them.
Plus, you'd have some sense that it was a value because they kept it or they kept filming for 2 hours.
There you go. Well, and that's the odd part, too. Like, do we really want to watch other people for 2 hours of our lives? I mean, so what if we have 10 people in our newsfeed of our 250 friends who are all doing this simultaneously? What a drag. I don't think anybody is going to find that attractive. So there is some potential there, but I would argue that probably what's going to happen is people are going to turn to a private mechanism to do that. So like FaceTime or things that are basically going to make it possible to have that sense of co-presence.
I guess I'm also curious about the impact of these kinds of interactions or non-interactions on your social standing. So if we think about like a middle school lunchroom, you have a measure of your standing determined by how many people are sitting around you, by who those people are. Mm-hmm. Is it the same way on your Facebook page, by who likes what you say or by how many people repost your tweet?
Yeah. So there's one portion of this conversation that I'm trying to engage in with this paper and my research in general is to think about how Facebook does things that happen in our normal lives in a way that may be slightly augmented or changed. So for young adults and for people who are adolescents, you know, the social approval, the social inclusion, all that's so important. And it probably is more important at that period of your life than it ever will be again. The degree to which that other people are saying what you say is good or what you look like is attractive or what you do with your time or what you're saying is witty or interesting, yes, matters terrifically for those folks. But what's interesting is it doesn't mean that it's necessarily motivated solely by that online component. People turn to their offline lives to make sense of that. That social capital has value in their outside lives. So if no one liked it, that was anyone that you knew, it would probably matter less than people who you're going to see at school the next day. So there is a kind of component that the bleed over from the online to the offline is always going to be really, really critical in motivating each to complement the other.
What do you think are the things that social media or online interaction will never replace? What are inherently, permanently social interactions?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, I think from my point of view, there are always going to be ways that social interaction we're going to seek out social interaction for particular things. And when we seek to have a sense of relatedness or connection to people, social interactions seem to have that possibility. And people who say that they are doing that through Skype, they're doing that through even through texting, you know, a reaffirmation that I love you and I'm thinking of you at this moment, those can be valuable. So I don't think that any component of our relational selves cannot be done online. It's just that it's unlikely to be the only way that we do that. I think we're always going to turn to offline at some degree to have that connection, that sense of communion.
Well, I am glad that we were able to have this communion today.
Indeed.
That's Jeff Hall. He is a KU Communication Study professor and author of a new study about social interaction versus social media. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Really good to have you back. You can also find this program online. You can even probably comment about it on Facebook. All of our shows are at kcur.org/centralstandard. This one will be up there later this afternoon. If you're on Twitter, and of course we know you are, we're at KCURCST and I'm at PTS Brian. Give us a follow. Tomorrow we will talk with Kansans who have made the journey from educator to legislator. KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our team includes Suzanne Hogan, Jen Chen, and Andrea Tudhope. Gina Kaufman's on leave. I'm Brian Ellison. We'll see you tomorrow.